under the oppression of the Midianites because they've turned their back on God, and God allowed the Midianites to come in and destroy the land and to oppress the people. But they will see where they finally come to a place where they cry out to God for help, and God is a God of mercy and grace, and God rises up Gideon to be that next judge over Israel to help deliver them and to help them to follow after the true living God. All right, so in Judges chapter 6, verse 1 through 13, the Bible says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass." So obviously, because of the children of Israel, because of their disobedience towards God, God allowed the Midianites plus the Amalekites plus the other nations to the east to come against them and to destroy their crops and to destroy all their livestock, so they would not have any provision, no food whatsoever, just oppressing them, causing them to be impoverished. In verse number, skip down if you would to verse number 6. Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. The children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abarizite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites." I mean, here just we're introduced to Gideon, who is obviously going to be the one that God chooses to defeat the Midianites and to rise up and to judge over Israel, to lead them to follow God. But we're introduced to Gideon. He's hiding behind the winepress, obviously threshing wheat. He's trying to hide it from the Midianites because the Midianites and the others, they come in, they destroy all their livestock, everything that they have, and yet what little is left, Gideon is trying to provide for his family. And this is where the angel of the Lord finds him. Verse 13, Gideon said, I'm sorry, back up verse 12. "The angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us, and where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." So the angel of the Lord comes to Gideon, addresses Gideon by calling him a man of valor. And Gideon automatically, he's like, you know, why is God allowing this? Why has God allowed us to be oppressed by the Midianites? He even questions, you know, the power of God, the miracles of God, saying, you know, where's all the miracles that our fathers told us about that they saw in their day? And he's not understanding that the whole reason why the Midianites are oppressing them is because as a nation, as a whole, even though not everybody turned their back on God, but God was judging the entire nation of Israel, God allowed this oppression, and God does that to turn the hearts of his people back to him, because when they cry out to God for mercy, well, God sends a prophet to tell them why they're in this oppression, why it's been 7 years of the Midianites destroying their crops, killing their livestock, and keeping them basically under their thumb because of the rebellion, because of the false idolatry that the nation of Israel was involved in. But then he chooses a man who proves himself to be someone who's going to be worthy of the Lord, using him in delivering the people of Israel. And he comes to Gideon, and he addresses Gideon and lets Gideon know that he's the man that God is going to use. Now, when you think about it, most of us probably know what it's like to be under pressure. Gideon is under pressure. He's behind the wine press. He's trying to provide food for his family. At the same time, knowing the Midianites are lurking around, they could come and take everything that he has and totally destroy it and take it away from him. But Gideon was in a stressful situation, but as his faith developed, he learned that he could trust God with any situation. And that's what we're going to find out today and next Sunday, is God coming through in Gideon's life and the grace of God in Gideon's life. Now, at some point, all of us probably have felt inadequate to deal with a situation. We may feel that God's calling us to do something, but we wonder if he's picked the right person for the job. We know that God's not given us a spirit of fear, because 2 Timothy chapter 1 tells us God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. If you ever, as a child of God, feel fear in your life, you feel scared, you don't know how something's going to happen, and you just feel like fear is taking over, that's not of God. That's obviously your adversary, my adversary, that wants to oppress us and keep us from trusting God and keep us from following God and believing that God can and will do great things in our life. Now, when we understand that we're commanded to be careful for nothing, as in Philippians 4:6, we get that we're not to worry. But how do we actually put these truths into practice? How do we actually trust God, not worry, and not fear about what we're facing? Now, as you think about Gideon, again, Gideon, he's just trying to do the right thing. He's trying to provide for his family in a very difficult time. 7 years of oppression, 7 years of these Midianites, the Amalekites, the other armies from the east coming in, destroying their land, destroying their crops, killing their livestock, and just keeping them under this oppression. I mean, just sometimes in life, it just seems like trials go on and there just seems to be no end to it. Yet we know as a child of God that God has not brought us into a relationship with him to destroy us, but to build our faith, to conform us more into the image of Christ. And when we do turn our backs on God at some times, God allows difficulties to draw us back, to bring us back into fellowship with him. And the Bible's clear to say that God allowed the Midianites to oppress his people. But we'll see where God always does right, and God chooses a man by the name of Gideon. First thing I want you to see is that God gives grace to a humble man. Gideon being just a humble man trying to provide for his family, trying to do what's right. When you look at verses 11 and 12, there in your notes, we notice that Gideon was doing what he was doing when he was first introduced in the Bible. In verse 11 and 12, it says, "There came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which is in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abarizite," Joash being Gideon's father, "and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." One thing I want us to think about and to point out is God's interested in you. God's interested in your life. God's interested in being a part of your life. Not just the fact that he's given us the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, the fact he wants to be involved in your life, that whatever you're facing, he wants to be the one that helps you through it, the one that gives you the answers. He comes to us often to try to get our attention to help us understand that he has the answer and he has the way out. Now, he addresses Gideon by calling him a man of valor, but Gideon doesn't feel like a man of valor. We'll even see later on where when God tells him exactly what God's going to do through Gideon, Gideon is a little apprehensive. He wants to believe God, but he wants God to just give him some confidence. And, you know, Gideon's fleece that we call Gideon's fleece, where he asks the Lord, well, Lord, if you're really in this and you really want me to do this, then cause this wool to be wet and the ground dry. And God does that. And then vice versa, he's still a little apprehensive and he really wants God to just really let Gideon know that God is totally on his side. And then Gideon says, okay, Lord, if you'll let the ground be wet and the wool be dry. And God did that. I mean, just God is interested in your life. God is a God that is a relationship God. He wants to be involved in your life and my life. I just want us to remember that. He's not a God who cannot be spoken to. He's not a God who cannot be followed. He's not a God who cannot be trusted. If that was the case, he would not have sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us. He would not have given us of his Holy Spirit to guide us through our life if he was not interested in us. Again, looking at Gideon, Gideon was in the wine press. It was an unusual place to thresh wheat because the wine press is where they would take the grapes and obviously crush them down into juice, but that's where he's at. It was a place where he could hide himself, not be out in the open. And we just see just some characteristics of Gideon, that Gideon was selfless. I mean, he's out there basically putting his neck on the line, putting his life on the line to provide for his family. And nobody else was, but Gideon was. Gideon knew that if he went to the wheat fields or an open threshing floor, the Midianites would steal his wheat, but he still needed to provide food for his family. He did what was necessary. Again, as we even looked at Joshua, we understood that Joshua was chosen to be the next leader of Israel because Joshua had already proven himself to God. He had already proven himself to be faithful, to follow God, to trust God, and to lead God's people into following God, and God chose him to be that next leader. God here is choosing Gideon because Gideon is already showing who he is. I mean, he's a man that's willing to provide for his family when it's very difficult, when he could lose his life, when everything he's trying to provide could be stolen away. And God knows. I mean, God knows the hearts of the people. That's why David is known as a man after God's own heart, because God knew David's heart, and God knew that David would lead his people in following God. And that's true. That's what God has always wanted, is someone to lead his people in following him. King Saul didn't do it, but David did, and others as well. And Gideon, God knew that Gideon would be the right man for the job because Gideon showed selflessness. He showed himself to be one that really cared about other people, not just himself. Now, Gideon knew that if he went to the wheat fields, you know, the Midianites would come and they would steal away what little food he had, but he still needed to provide food for his family. He picked the wine press so that he could hide the wheat from the Midianites. Now, Gideon's choice to deny himself to serve his family, he demonstrated that selfless love. Now, how far are we willing to go to help others? I mean, that's a good question. I mean, Gideon, again, was willing to put his life on the line. He wasn't being selfish, but he was being selfless, and he was showing love. And sometimes, you know, God will have us kind of go out of our comfort zone. He'll stretch us at times. So we'll show love to others. And what would keep us from truly loving somebody and helping somebody? And we have to answer that question between us and the Lord. Now, it's easy to serve when it's convenient and safe. Again, it wasn't very convenient. It wasn't very safe for Gideon to be doing this. But because of his love for his family because of the fact that he was selfless and he cared about others. He was willing, again, to go and do this, go out of his comfort zone, put his life on the line to be able to help other people. Now, to live the Christian life as God desires requires that we do deny ourselves. Look in your notes at Matthew chapter 16. Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Now, it doesn't mean you don't take care of yourself, but as that acronym is for joy, it's Jesus, others, yourself. Jesus always first. So if we put Jesus first in our life, guess what? That will cause us and help us to put others next before us. Now, you know, and I know people that only care about themselves and only look out for themselves, and if you were to ask them for help, they would always have an excuse why they couldn't help. But then you also know people that would give you literally the shirt off their back if you truly needed it. When there's just those that we could say naturally care about people, but as people, when we put Christ first, God does want us to help other people. And Jesus says, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now, God chooses leaders who are busy doing what they can. We look at Gideon, and we see him doing the right thing, even when it's difficult. In our lives, God's looking for us to be just like Gideon, working at the wine press. He wants us to remain faithful in the little things so that he can use us in the big things. In fact, being faithful in the little things and submitting to the Lord's will is a requirement for God to further use us. God does not use people that are not willing to work and not willing to serve and that are not loving people. When God has something that needs to be accomplished, he chooses those that are already faithful at what little they already have been given to do. It may just be you're faithful in your home. You're faithful at raising your children for the Lord. You're faithful at serving God. You're faithful at following God. You're faithful to the things of God. And God says, you know what? That's somebody I need to use in this person's life. This is somebody that can help this person and help in this situation. And honestly, as God's people, we should want God to use us. We should want God in some way see that, you know, not that we're worthy of ourselves, but we're worthy in Christ to be used by God. That, you know, I don't want to just go through life, okay, I'm saved, and twiddle my thumbs and never have God working in my life, never have God using me to help somebody else or to do anything. Because I want to know that, you know what, that God does want to use me and that God wants to do great things. And we love God doing great things for us. Who doesn't? I mean, if you don't love God blessing you and doing great things for you, then there's something wrong. Because we all like for God to do things for us. We like it when people do things for us. But God is looking for some that he can currently use right now. Now, you might think, yeah, well, I'm not Gideon, and, you know, that was good for Gideon, but the day and age we live in, there are people that God wants to use you and me to be able to influence for Christ. And when you get to Gideon, and we'll get to this in a minute, when you think about Gideon, all by himself, God chooses him to do something great, to rise up and deliver his people from the hand of the Midianites. And if you remember the account of Gideon, how did he do it? Did he do it with thousands of men? He started out with thousands of men, and God says, you've got too many. And by the time God dwindles the numbers down, it's just Gideon and 300 men going up against thousands of Midianites. The impossible. Because again, it was God that was going to give them the victory. And that's something we always have to remember. It's God who gives us the ability to accomplish anything for him and to do anything. God's the one that gives us the ability, and God sometimes will ask us to do something that we're like, Lord, that's out of my comfort zone. Lord, that's something I don't have a talent in. Lord, that's just something I've never done. And God's like, okay, that's good. I still want you to do it because God's the one that gives us the ability. That way God gets the glory for it. And when we're done, we can say, thank you, Lord, for helping me. That's the only way I was able to do it was because God helped me. Now, again, Gideon was humble. And when you think about just the fact his humility, really we have to be humble before the Lord, understanding that everything we have comes from the Lord. Everything that we can actually do in life comes from the Lord. I cannot even learn how to do anything without God giving me the wisdom and the ability to be able to learn. Think about Gideon was also submissive. He was humble and he was submissive. That word, submit, is a very tough word for people to be able to adhere to in their life, to be able to submit to somebody else. It's even if someone is receiving a paycheck to do a job, sometimes you will see in the workforce where people kind of buck up against management, buck up against the company, even though the company is paying them every week or every 2 weeks to do a job, and they complain and they may not do the job to the fullest and faithfully. And again, when you even go to marriages and you look at marriages and what the Bible says and just everything, we have to be submissive to God. There's just some things in life that you and I just don't want to submit to. And God does not call us to submit to people who are going to kill us, people who are going to do evil things to us. When you think about submitting to God, submitting to the one who has the authority over your life. Why is it people don't want to submit to authority? Because people want to be in charge of their life. Like, no one's going to tell me what to do. Most teenagers have that rebellious attitude. And I say most, there's some that don't. All right, but honestly, if you think about it, everybody has a little bit of rebellion in them that they need God's help in order to be submissive. It's just true. Because again, people don't want authority over them. They want to be their authority. But as a child of God, let me just back up. Can anybody get saved? Can anyone go to heaven without submitting to God's plan of salvation? And the answer is no. God has a simple plan of salvation, and that is believing in Jesus Christ and what he did. Now, there are many that will not submit to that and say, nope, there's some other way, I'm going to do it my way. And guess what? They find out later on when they take their last breath on this side and their eyes open on the other side that they were wrong. I mean, God has his ways of doing things, and we have to submit to that. So, I mean, submitting to Christ and what Christ did on the cross and putting our faith and trust in him, we know that gives us salvation. The Bible tells us that. God tells us through his word. So, again, when you think about submitting to God even after salvation as a child of God, if we want God to do things in our life, we have to submit to the ways of God, even when it doesn't make sense. Gideon is going to be asked, he's to just go up against the Midianites with 300 men, and you're going to go with a torch, you're going to go with a pitcher, you're going to break these pitchers, make a loud noise, you're going to scream, and the Midianites are going to be scared to death, and you're going to be able to chase them, and you're going to be able to destroy a lot of them. And God's going to give you the victory and give you the deliverance, even when it doesn't make sense, because we're submitting to God's way. Now, we see that Gideon was submissive. Picture Gideon secretly threshing wheat behind the wine press, staying faithful in the mundane task of life. Suddenly, an incredible turn of events takes place. An angel appeared to him and called him a mighty man of valor. Now, even though God called Gideon a mighty man of valor, Gideon was doubtful and wondered why God was allowing the Israelites to fall into the hands of the Midianites. I mean, Gideon wasn't even like, he wasn't even taken back by this angel that came to him. I mean, the angel addresses him, and Gideon's first response is, why is God allowing this? Sometimes that's usually our first response when there's hardships in our life. We kind of sometimes blame God by what we say. I know that God's real. I know that God is my Savior. I know that God watches over me. But God, why are you allowing this? Why are you allowing us to be under the thumb of the Midianites? Why are you allowing all of our food to be destroyed, all of our livestock to be destroyed? God, why are you allowing this oppression for 7 years? I mean, that is what Gideon is asking after he was addressed and after he was even, you know, addressed by God through this angel in a very, thou man of valor. I mean, God is like addressing him. God is giving him, I don't want to say a title, but God views Gideon in a way that Gideon doesn't view himself. Think about it. I mean, there are many people, young people, that have believed lies that they're ugly, they're no good, they shouldn't live, and yet it's not how God sees them. You know, God sees you completely differently than you view yourself. Think about, again, going back to David being a young shepherd boy. Samuel is sent to Jesse's house to anoint the next king. And Jesse brings in his seven sons, and they all stand before Samuel, and God says, no, 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 to each one. And Samuel says, do you have any other sons? Because God hasn't chosen any of these. And even the father says, well, I've got one more, but I mean, he's tending the sheep. And Samuel says, well, call him. I mean, Jesse didn't even view his own son as needing to be called to this sacrifice that Samuel came to do. He didn't even view David, it's going to be one of these older boys that's going to be chosen. And yet when David arrives on the scene, God tells Samuel, rise up and anoint him. He's the one. I mean, so it doesn't matter how people view you, and it doesn't matter how you view yourself. God has the perfect view of you. Gideon, sitting here just trying to do what he can do for his family, and yet God addresses him, thou mighty man of valor. You know what? You and I, as God's children, have value in the eyes of God, and God wants to do things in your life and through your life, but we have to be willing to submit and say, Lord, here am I. Lord, what would you have me to do? And allow God to use you in ways that you could not even fathom that God would use you. God is not restrained by our age, whether we're male or female, our occupation. There's nothing that holds God back from using us. God wants to use us in a great way, and we see that in Gideon's life. We see the grace of God just moving in Gideon's life. And you think about, again, likewise, God sees us as what he will make of us, not what we are when he finds us. We have to remember that God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We may not grasp God's master plan because we can't see the future. God can, however, and we can rest in his promises. God never told Gideon how he would defeat the Midianites, but he promised that he would. There in Judges 6:14 in your notes, the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And what a wonderful phrase to remember for Gideon, have not I sent thee? Remember, we looked at Joshua, and God said, to Joshua. He said basically the same thing. I will be with thee as I was with Moses. So there are things in your life that God wants to use you to do and to accomplish, and God wants to be the one to give you the ability to do it so that he gets the glory for it, so that we will trust him and follow him. Look at Gideon's response in verse 15. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. So even Gideon is already kind of, Lord, there's no way you can use me. I come from a poor family, and I'm the least in my family. I'm not even thought of very much in my family. And again, that's sometimes people have that view of themselves that they're not, you know, it's one thing to be humble and say, Lord, I'm just a sinner, Lord. There's nothing I can do right, but if you want to use me, that's fine. But then you have those that just have a very bad view of themselves. And again, it's not God's view. It's not God's view. Picture Gideon, Gideon's thoughts, his racing thoughts through his mind, thinking to himself, wait a minute, Lord, you must have the wrong guy for the job. I'm definitely not a soldier. I'm the least in my family. I'm not rich. Are you sure you've got the right Gideon? I mean, there are just times in your life probably where you were asked to do something and you had excuses of why you couldn't do it. It starts at a very young age. I've had children that have been told to go do something, go clean their room, go pick something up, and we've had some kids that all of a sudden acted like their legs were broken. I mean, just down, oh, I can't, you know, my leg hurts or whatever, am I right? I mean, just the excuses that I can't do that, right? And even as adults, there's times where we may have an excuse why God may be asking us to go and tell somebody you're sorry. And we come up with excuses why. And usually the first excuse is, well, Lord, I didn't do anything wrong. They did. They should be coming to me. Understand that God sometimes will have us go and tell somebody we're sorry for what we said or did, even if they were the instigator, even if they started it, even if they provoked us, yet because we're the children of God, God wants us to live peaceably with all men as much as lies within us. And there's times where God will move upon our heart and prompt us to go and make something right. And in the flesh, we don't want to. We're like, Lord, that's not right. Lord, that's not fair. They should be the one crawling to me and begging for my forgiveness. And God's like, no. I want you to go and show the love of Christ to them and show them the forgiveness, even if they don't receive it. It doesn't make sense to us to do that, but it makes complete sense to God. Because when did Jesus say, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do? Before or after the soldiers crucified him to the cross and nailed him to that cross? It was after they did that. They weren't asking him for forgiveness, but he cries out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So, I mean, Jesus gives us the example. God helps us to be able to do what he calls us to do. Again, there is just a myriad of things, a number of things that God may have you do. It may be that, you know, God may call somebody from this church to become a missionary, you know, go off to a foreign country and you may think, as some missionaries think, Lord, I can't do that. Lord, I just don't know if I could really come through and do that. And as that person that God's moved upon their heart, God assures them that he's going to be with them and God's going to help them and give them the ability to do what he's asked them to do. And they see where God is faithful, and it helps them to fulfill what God wants them to do. There's just things in your life where you may think, there's no way, Lord, I can do this. And God says, yes, you can, with my help. And Gideon was going to have the help of the Lord, but we just see some things in Gideon's life that he was humble. He was willing to help, even when it meant putting himself, his life on the line when it meant that, you know what, this might be in vain. If I'm found out, the Midianites see me, they could come and take everything. But he was going to do it because he loved people, he loved his family, and he was going to be submissive in what God wanted him to do, and God saw that. Let's see here. Look in your notes at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Because God saw in Gideon a man who knew he was nothing, but still had remained faithful in that which was little. Gideon had not built himself up in his own eyes, and that was the kind of man God wanted to use. Now, if we doubt that God can use us at any given time because of our deficiencies, we need to meditate on the fact that God's grace is sufficient. And we see it in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Jesus says unto Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Most gladly, Paul says, "Therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." I mean, just in that moment of Paul's life, Jesus reminds Paul, everything you've done up until this point hasn't been because of your ability, it's been because of my grace working in your life. And now it was going to continue to be God's grace in Paul's life with that thorn in the flesh, whether it was a health issue, something else, whatever that thorn in the flesh was, God was reminding Paul, it's my grace that's helped you this far. It's my grace that's going to help you finish the course that I have set your feet upon. And Paul goes on to say, then I'd rather glory in my infirmities. I'll glory in them, knowing that in my infirmities, the power of Christ will rest upon me. And that's what he says. Now, Gideon humbly recognized that he was weak, but he still wanted the Lord to use him. And that really should be a desire of ours, that no matter what we think of ourselves, we should still want God in some way to use us, in some way to move in our life, to do great things in our life, and to use us to be able to help other people, because it reminds us that, you know what? This is not religion. It's a relationship. This is God. This is how God operates. God saves a person, cleans them up, sanctifies them, continues the sanctification process in their life, conforming them into the image of Christ. But as he's working in that life after salvation, and he wants to use that life to help other people, to be an example to other people, to show other people the love of Christ, and to show people that, man, God really does care about individuals. He really does care about working in someone's life, helping them to get victory over habits in their life, victory over sin, and helping them to live a life that has meaning and purpose because Jesus Christ is in their life. And we'll see that in the life of Gideon where, again, we read the account of Gideon, but when you look at the life of Gideon, you see it's the hand of God. You see it's God in Gideon's life that helps anything to be accomplished. And really, it reminds us that everything in our life should always be about God. Everything that we accomplish, whether it's a good-paying job, whatever it is in your life that you seemingly have accomplished and you have, it's all been because of God. God allowing it, and God will continue. He'll continue to do great things in your life if you will continue to submit yourself to him and continue to walk humbly with him, as Micah chapter 4, verse 8 tells us, to walk humbly with our God. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you again for the beautiful day that you've given us.